This is Jay Sekulow. Shocking developments in the Benghazi matter. Our guest, Senator Lindsey Graham and Congressman James Lankford.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Documents are prepared that anticipate questions from the press and provide answers based on our policy and our best understanding of what's happening at the time. That's standard operating procedure. And if you look at the document in question here, it is not about Benghazi. It is about the protests around the Muslim world outside of U.S. embassies and what we know about them and what we should say about them based on our policies.
And the best information and the best assessment we have today is that, in fact, this was not a pre-planned, premeditated attack. I never thought you were a fool. It was a spontaneous reaction to the video. People gathered outside the embassy, and then it grew very violent. Those with extremist ties joined the fray and came with heavy weapons, and that then spun out of control.
This endless parade of distractions and political posturing and phony scandals. Now you're stuck in the moment and you can't get out of it. Washington's taken its eye off the ball. And I'm here to say this needs to stop.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. We've got a lot to talk about. The State Department trying to spin their way out of an incredible email that has been released from our friends at Judicial Watch through litigation that they pursued. This litigation ended up with an email that says, and I'm quoting from it, to underscore that these protests are rooted in an internet video and not a broader failure of policy. That was in a memo, an email from Ben Rhodes, the Deputy National Security Advisor, to a number of people, including Jay Carney, the president's spokesperson. Jordan, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but it's now broken fully, and this is unbelievable. You're going to hear from Senator Lindsey Graham calling for a joint investigation here.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Jay Carney has now had to answer for this, and that is something we had not yet seen, which is the way that reporters and the interaction between Jay Carney, and it's important. We'll play it later in the broadcast, too, and break it down with Senator Graham, but we should play it for people right now. This is Jay Carney yesterday at the White House press briefing saying that this email, I mean, he literally used the same words, wasn't about Benghazi. I mean, he literally said those words. Don't take it from me. Listen to Jay Carney right now.
Documents are prepared that anticipate questions from the press and provide answers based on our policy and our best understanding of what's happening at the time. That's standard operating procedure. And if you look at the document in question here, it is not about Benghazi. It is about the protests around the Muslim world outside of U.S. embassies and what we know about them and what we should say about them based on our policies.
So, Jordan, your reaction to this, I mean, this is a spin control attempt, but it's unreal, actually.
It's surreal. In the sense that, I mean, it's really not living in reality, that this is now the talking point on the talking points. And the talking point on the talking point is that they weren't actually about Benghazi. Now, this email that we're talking about was sent 3 days after Benghazi to prepare Susan Rice. And that's literally what it says, prep call with Susan. And it's preparing for a phone call that'll be on Saturday, the day before she goes on every single news show on the Sunday shows. And so, of course, it's all about Benghazi. And then the whole reason why she was doing the interviews was because it was about Benghazi. The fact that Jay Carney makes these statements so clearly that this email wasn't about Benghazi, then why is Susan Rice spending her time getting prepped on it?
Well, there's not a real answer for that. And the answer is they got caught. And they have no answer for it. We're going to be joined coming up by Senator Lindsey Graham later in the broadcast. Congressman James Lankford, we've got a lot to thank you for, though. As we go to this break, thank you for the incredible response in helping us not only meet but exceed our matching challenge goal. Thank you very much for all of you that participated. We're going to keep up for today and tomorrow the petition in support of Israel. If you haven't signed it yet, I can't think of a better day to do it. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government. The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Documents are prepared that anticipate questions from the press and provide answers based on our policy and our best understanding of what's happening at the time. That's standard operating procedure. And if you look at the document in question here, it is not about Benghazi. It is about the protests around the Muslim world outside of U.S. embassies and what we know about them and what we should say about them based on our policies.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. And again, a huge thank you from all of us at the ACLJ for your support in March and in April. We met and exceeded our goals, and for that, we really appreciate and thank you for your support. Well, joining us on the phone right now is a very good friend, one of the leaders in the Senate, and certainly a friend of the ACLJ's, and that is Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. I was with the senator just last week in South Carolina at a pro-life event. But today, we're talking about Benghazi, Senator. The emails are starting to become public. We've got the one, of course, that the White House is trying to really back away from, where it is very clear that the White House says it's their highlight number two to underscore that these protests talking about Benghazi are rooted in an internet video and not a broader failure of policy. First, your reaction to this.
Well, number one, it is the smoking gun we've been looking for to show that the White House created the storyline about a video causing a protest. This document is proof positive that they provided a political answer to what they perceived to be a political problem. It was not providing the best information available to the American people. It was trying to do damage control. The whole idea of a protest caused by a hateful video, there's no evidence of that. So Ben Rhodes, the author of this document, needs to come before the American people and tell us, what are you talking about? Show me the intel that there was a protest outside the consulate before the attack. There was not one person there. I've talked to the security specialist on the ground in Benghazi at the consulate. He said the ambassador went to bed. There was no one outside the consulate. He was watching the monitor. 16 to 20 people streamed through the gate, heavily armed, carrying a banner that was later identified to be the banner of Ansar al-Sharia, the al-Qaeda affiliate in Benghazi. Not one person on the ground reported a protest before the attack. It was a coordinated terrorist attack. This is a storyline created to help the president get reelected. Bottom line, they lied to the American people about Benghazi.
Okay, Senator, it's very important. I want to reiterate that because I think we agree on everything, and this is one where I think the American people deserve a response from the White House that's direct. Instead, what the White House is doing, I'm going to play it a little bit later, is trying to say, well, this memo wasn't part of the whole Benghazi statements that they were creating. But, of course, the evidence speaks for itself. How significant is this, Senator? I mean, I know I agree it's a smoking gun. I've said that in a piece I'm posting on Fox News. But what is your sense of the impact of this on the administration?
It's game changing. I think it's going to lead to wider media scrutiny. It's going to justify calling new witnesses. And if we don't take advantage of this opportunity to create a new process, the House has done a great job. They're trying very hard to get the truth in Benghazi, but the three committees investigating this never talked to each other. I'm begging the House leadership to create a joint select committee with professional staff, people like yourself who know how to ask a question. No more five-minute rounds of questioning by members of Congress who give speeches. Start over again, create a joint select committee looking at the CIA, the State Department, and DOD as one rather than three separate investigations. I think this will allow us to call Ben Rhodes to let him explain, these goals. Now Susan Rice must come forward to tell us, she still has no regrets about Benghazi. Why was she chosen and not Hillary Clinton? How could she say the consulate was substantially, strongly, and significantly secured? Where does that evidence come from? We all know that it was a death trap, that numerous requests for additional security had been denied by the Washington headquarters of the State Department. They did not do everything in their power to secure this these facilities, and we know that. So they told a political story, not a factual story. And it allows further inquiry. It justifies a joint select committee, and it requires us to call people from the White House.
I am in a complete agreement. I think the joint select committee is critical, and I think getting the witnesses that actually now we know what knowledge they had and to explain this, the American people deserve that. Senator, we've got a bite here from Jay Carney that just happened moments ago. Let me play it, and then I want to get reaction.
Documents are prepared that anticipate questions from the press and provide answers based on our policy and our best understanding of what's happening at the time. That's standard operating procedure. And if you look at the document in question here, it is not about Benghazi. It is about the protests around the Muslim world outside of U.S. embassies and what we know about them and what we should say about them based on our policies.
So, Senator, I mean, God bless Jay Carney. I mean, it's a horrible, miserable job, especially when you got something like this. But to say this isn't about Benghazi?
No, well, let's put it this way. Look at all the email traffic coming to Washington about a terrorist attack on our consulate. We had an ambassador killed. For a while, he was missing. We didn't even know where he was at. You know, he wound up being in a Libyan hospital. We lost control of the ambassador. Four Americans got killed. Clearly, they were worried about the policy implications of a terrorist attack on our consulate in Benghazi, destroying the narrative that al-Qaeda was on the run and we were winning the war on terror. This was all about Benghazi. To say that her Sunday TV appearance wasn't about Benghazi ignores what she said. To say that this memo trying to prepare her to shape the story was not about Benghazi is an insult to the families and the fallen. This will not stand. It makes no sense. The American people are not stupid. They're fair-minded. 61% of Americans now believe this administration manipulated the storyline of Benghazi and basically, for political reasons, lied to us. This is the same administration that told you if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your policy, you can keep your policy. That's domestic politics. This is about four people dying in the line of duty. They allowed the situation to be untenable. They should have never been in Benghazi this unsecured. They should have been able to come to their aid because it was September 11th of all days. And finally, they should not be allowed to lie about what happened to these people. There was no video. There was no protest involved. This was a coordinated terrorist attack you could see coming for miles.
All right, Senator, last question, and this is a former colleague of yours who's now the Secretary of State, and that was his statement regarding Israel not being able to get a deal, so to speak, with Fatah, which now it looks like is going to be in partnership with Hamas and saying we'd be moving them to an apartheid-like government. What's your reaction to that one?
John Kerry may be the most tone-deaf person on the planet about the world as it is, but I blame the President of the United States. The President of the United States has thrown Israel under the bus numerous times. It's not just to use the word apartheid, that Israel is an apartheid nation. They have thrown Israel under the bus, criticizing Israel for settlement expansion. They never criticize Hamas for attacking innocent Israeli children with rocket attacks that could hit anybody at any time. The fact that Fatah, the Palestinian Authority, has now merged with Hamas, a designated terrorist organization, should offend everybody in the world. To expect Israel to deal with these folks is an affront to Israel and all the things we hold dear. Do you think Americans would accept one rocket coming from Mexico indiscriminately fired
Absolutely
by a group
not.
Of people? 10,000 by Hamas. So the world is in flames. The foreign policy of Barack Obama is failing on all fronts. It caught up with him in Libya. The light footprint approach caught up with us. We let our guard down. We tried to ignore the signals that were clearly there to be seen because he didn't want to admit that Al-Qaeda was on the rise. He had the wrong foreign policy for Libya. It caught up with him, and he lied about it. His administration lied about it. There is no way 2 weeks after this attack that the president or anybody else could honestly claim that this was caused by a video, a protest that went awry. It was always a terrorist attack. Everybody on the ground knew it. They said so, and this White House manipulated the evidence. And why does it matter? Hillary Clinton said, why does this matter? It matters a lot when Americans are killed in the line of duty because of poor preparation, the inability to come to their aid. It matters a lot when they die for the cause that people lie about the circumstances of their death.
Senator, I appreciate your leadership. You know that. I consider you a good friend, and I appreciate, and I know the people of South Carolina do as well, your leadership on this and so many other issues. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for taking the leadership role that you've done.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Senator.
Bye.
Coming up after the break, Congressman James Lankford. We're going to talk about Israel in the Middle East. And also, folks, again, thank you for your support. You helped us meet and exceed our goal for the month of March and April. For that, I am grateful, as our entire team is around the world. We're keeping up our petition in support of Israel. It's growing rapidly, especially now with this, as you've been hearing about this unified government between Fatah and Hamas. It's unbelievable that the United States would expect Israel to negotiate with terrorists. But that's what they're trying to do. We want to stop that. Sign that petition now at ACLJ.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. But you and I, we've been through that. And it's not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour's getting late,
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government. The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow here in Washington, D.C., and we're joined by a great friend of the broadcast, Congressman Lankford from Oklahoma. Congressman James Lankford is, again, a very important member of Congress, and he has really been standing up for us and for issues that are important to us on so many different fronts, whether it's the IRS targeting scandal, whether it's Benghazi, whether it's budget issues and economic issues, and, of course, when it comes to foreign policy and the situation now involving Israel and the remarks by Secretary of State John Kerry, the apartheid remarks that have been made. Congressman Lankford, it is always great to have you on the broadcast. Thanks for being with us today.
Great to be with you as well.
You know, Congressman, right off the bat, there's law that actually prohibits the U.S. government from funding terrorist organizations and governments that may make allegiances with terrorist organizations, like this Hamas unity deal we're hearing about between the Palestinian Authority and Hamas. But it seems like almost you can't really trust the Obama administration to fully enforce that. So should Congress take this decision out of the president's hand and just pass its own funding measure that strips the funding altogether?
It should, because the issue that comes up right now is that the president does have waiver authority. You're right. Law specifically prohibits any federal funding going to Hamas or any power-sharing government that aligns with Hamas because they're a known terror organization. So it doesn't just say terror organizations. The law is very specific. It's Hamas. They want the destruction of Israel. They have actively pursued the destruction of Jews and Israelis. So this is a very big issue when a government says we're going to partner with them. The law itself has waiver authority given to the president if he can certify that they're going to be in line. This president, you're right, cannot be trusted to say that he's not going to use waiver authority just to be able to waive something and pretend that things are better than they are.
Congressman, I had a question for you, similar lines here, and that is the nature of this statement by John Kerry. Now, he's kind of tried to walk it back a little bit, although certainly didn't apologize for it, but basically saying if the Israelis don't get a successful resolution with the Palestinian Authority's government, which is now looking like it could be Hamas and Fatah, that they will be putting themselves in the situation where they'll be an apartheid state. That's a very loaded word, and he said it. We've heard the video, and he doesn't deny he said it. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it is a very loaded word, and this lines up with the more European settlement that Israel, they want to be able to boycott Israel because of the separation that's going on. It's a European phrase to say that there is apartheid that's going on in Israel. It's not an American phrase because it's not true. The Israeli government is the only functioning democracy in all of the Middle East. You have people that are non-Jews that are part of their government in the Knesset. You have free movement of faith and religion. This is by far not an apartheid state, and for an American Secretary of State to say that and voice that their job is to be diplomatic and to be careful with words shows obviously he is not capable of doing the job that he has been asked to do to represent us. I can also tell you back in November, I was part of the House delegation that was in Israel at the same time Secretary Kerry was there. So while the P5+1 agreement was being made with Iran, I was part of a House delegation that was also meeting with a lot of the same government officials. And it was striking to me the number of Israeli members of their Knesset that said to me, their feeling is Secretary Kerry is coming to Israel to get his Nobel Peace Prize, not to actually help us.
Absolutely. You know, Congressman, we also want to ask about, the deeper thinking here is, does this take us into a mindset? You mentioned that this was kind of the European way. Is this, an indication for those of us who aren't usually in meetings like this where Secretary Kerry may have been speaking more openly and off the cuff instead of prepared remarks and not knowing necessarily who was being recorded in the way that the audio has come out at this meeting, that this is how this administration views Israel? Is it an indication or insight for the average listener here of the broadcast who's not in on any special meetings, doesn't have a security clearance, that this administration, I mean, if we're treating our friends this way, it makes you wonder how many friends we have left.
Yeah, it makes the rest of the world wonder if we're really friends with America either. It has been very clear for decades that Israel has a close ally, and that is the United States. Now the Israelis don't know if we're their close ally. They wonder why we've stepped back. This president has moved our foreign policy from we have a friend in the Middle East and that friend is Israel and we stand with our friend to the United States is going to pretend we're Switzerland and we're going to back out and we're going to treat all governance, all everything the same. and say that we're neutral in all environments. We're not neutral. These are not moral equivalents that are happening here. In Israel, you can have freedom of faith and movement and freedom of religion. If you go to many countries right around them, you'll be executed if you have a different faith. You'll be executed if you don't practice the right thing in the press. You'll be executed if you try to have any kind of free speech. It is a very different world. These are not moral equivalents, and we should stand with our ally, that is Israel, and make that very, very clear.
So, Congressman, what's the consequences here for the – I mean, we've got to basically – in the Middle East right now, the way I score it, the president is basically and the administration have taken the wrong side each and every time there's been any movement within the Arab Spring, whether it was backing the Morsi government. You could go on through the whole entire list.
Right.
What's the consequences of this, actions of the Secretary of State? What should they be? I mean, Senator Cruz is calling for his resignation. Obviously, that's between the Secretary and the President. But what's your sense of what should be the repercussions of this?
Yeah, I would actually go even farther back than what you went. From the very beginning of the administration, the Green Party revolt that happened in Iran.
Oh, yeah.
We sat back and did nothing on it. That was a prime moment to see a change in Iran.
You're right.
That we did not engage on it, and we failed on. So here's our problem. With this president, if Secretary Kerry leaves, which I would very much advocate for him not being our voice around the world and him not carrying the American message, because I do not believe he articulates the American dream and the American perspective. So if the president removes him, which I'd be glad to see him removed, he's going to replace him with someone who thinks just like him. So did Secretary Clinton. She thought just like Secretary Kerry thinks. This is the attitude of this administration. They are passive in trying to engage in issues where they should actively engage. We are the United States of America. We are the beacon of liberty, and we're trying to dumb our system down and say we're the same as everyone else in the world, and we're just another friend. The world needs a clear light and a clear beacon of liberty. We have always been that, and now they're trying to dim our light, and I'm adamantly opposed to that. But that's not a change in Secretary of State, though I'd be glad to see him go. That's a change of president.
Congressman Lankford, the new revelations in the email from the White House, the Deputy National Security Council staff, Ben Rhodes, who does a lot of this, spokesperson for the White House, and his direct orders to basically Susan Rice spinning Benghazi 3 days after the fact. Again, there's no mention of terrorism in these emails. The focus is in on the video. And it's a real more indication to people that the White House was concerned about, and again, we're not talking about the DNC or Democrats, but the White House staff was concerned about politically protecting the president, not getting to the truth, and instead making very broad assertions in these emails to have Susan Rice go on television and proclaim.
Yeah, that's correct. They kept Susan Rice out of a lot of the meetings where they discussed the actual facts as they were happening. She was isolated, and they could bring her talking points that were 3 days old. So they could say, these are the talking points. This is what was handing us from the CIA. But by the way, just leave out the basic fact of these were handed to us by the CIA 3 days ago. We know these things are not true anymore. This was the initial report from on the ground, but we have basic information now that shows none of that's true. There never was a protest in Benghazi that day.
Very good. Congressman, thanks for your leadership on so many of these issues, and thanks for taking time for us today and to let our audience know your views on this, which we agree with and appreciate. And again, thanks for your leadership.
You bet. Thanks, guys, very much for what you're doing.
That's going to do it for the broadcast today. Again, a huge thank you to Senator Graham, Congressman Lankford, for being with us. A lot more ahead. Tomorrow on the broadcast, you're going to hear from the Deputy Minister of Defense for the State of Israel. What a week we've had on this broadcast, and the week's not over yet. But again, we appreciate your support. You helped us meet and exceed our goal for that. We want to say again, thank you. And if you haven't signed that petition yet in support of Israel, do it right now at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, you just heard Jay and Jordan's interview with Senator Lindsey Graham, who's been really out front on this Benghazi scandal. Folks, he has been dogged. He has pursued this. He has continued to insist on answers. He's continued to insist on justice on behalf of the four Americans that were killed by terrorists in Benghazi. It was a great interview. We actually had a couple of more clips from that interview. We couldn't fit them all in the last segment of the broadcast, so we wanted to make sure you didn't miss any of this interview. So I'm going to go ahead and roll the rest of that interview now. Again, this is Jay and Jordan with Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
Jordan, you had a question for the senator.
Yeah, Senator, this email that's now been released, which was not previously released like this to the public without redactions, was sent 3 days after the Benghazi attack, so well after the narrative started to develop, at least internally at the White House. And as you've pointed out, the CIA, which never pointed to a video as the instigation behind or the reason why this happened. But we still have, as of today even, Jay Carney at the White House press briefing said that this email that was released, and it's as if he's living in some surreal world of denial, was not about Benghazi, even though it was a response to prepping Susan Rice for the Sunday shows that were taking place, again, days after Benghazi, when they knew that would be the focus. And now he's trying to say it was just an email with talking points about the region. Why is the White House still refusing, take credit for the fact that at least someone there, whether it's Ben Rhodes or someone else, created this narrative that was wrong?
Well, you know, Iran-Contra, eventually we found out we did trade arms for hostages. You know, at the end of the day, they're trying to, well, they assume that the American public doesn't care. They know the media's in the tank for them. They believe they can say anything and get away with it. So far, they've had a lot of success. To suggest that this whole email is not related to how to prep Susan Rice about Benghazi is offensive to every American and to the families of the dead. What do you think she was going to talk about on 16 September? Four dead Americans, the first ambassador killed in the line of duty. If you don't think they were worried about the story of Benghazi, nobody cared about a protest in Cairo. Not one person was lost. Clearly, what he's saying makes no sense. It's yet another effort to insult the American people. Clearly, they were trying to prepare her to tell a story about Benghazi that would be politically acceptable, secure the president's reelection. They wanted to stress the fact that this was caused by a protest, an internet video that led to a protest, not a broader failure of policy, because they understood that if a terrorist attack by Al-Qaeda was known to the American people and the consulate was poorly secured, it would hurt the president's reelection. So clearly, the goals in this email for Susan Rice is to shape the Benghazi story. They weren't worried about a foreign policy failure. They were worried about the political implications of the attack on the consulate, and they created storylines that were counter to the best evidence and, quite frankly, not supported by any evidence to help the president get reelected, and, quite frankly, they got away with it.
Again, folks, that was Jay and Jordan with Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina. We certainly appreciate him being part of the broadcast. Listen, as we go to a break, this administration's foreign policy has been a disaster that has never been more evident than now with Israel. Folks, it is our closest ally in the region. This administration is not standing with them. If you want to make sure that not a dime of your taxpayer money goes to a terrorist organization, Hamas, call now, 877-989-2255. Or sign online at aclj.org. The nights you fill with flowers, hey, they left you with nothing. I am still enchanted by the light you brought to me. Listen through your ears, through your eyes, I can see. You are such a fool.
It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government.
The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Joining us in our studios in Virginia Beach, Virginia, on the campus of Regent University School of Law is Skip Ash. He's a senior counsel with the ACLJ. He is also an expert on our military and national security issues and does a lot in the Israel matter. Let me read first, folks, just so you understand what we're dealing with. So Fatah, which is Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank, is on a five-week plan to unite their government with Hamas. Hamas, of course, has called for the destruction of Israel. In the charter of the Hamas covenant, it says Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. This is in their actual charter. Then it goes on to say that fear of Allah and raise the banner of jihad in the face of oppression so that they would rid the land and the people of their uncleanness, vileness, and evils. Again, talking about Israel and actually others there. That's the Article 3. Then there's this, how about this one? The Prophet Allah, bless him and grant him salvation, has said, the day of judgment will come about until Muslims fight the Jews, killing the Jews, when the Jew will hide behind stones and trees. The stones and trees will say, O Muslims, O Abdullah, there is a Jew behind me, come and kill him. Now, this is in their document. The slogan of the Islamic resistance movement, Allah is its target, the Prophet is its model, the Quran its constitution, jihad is the path, and death for the sake of Allah is the loftiest of its wishes. Now, this is the group that the White House is saying, you know, you can cut a deal with for peace. They're calling for your annihilation. Folks, before we get to Skip's comments, we've got a petition up brand new in a day, not a day, a couple of hours. 14,000 people have signed it. We don't want Israel forced to negotiate with people that are calling for its extermination. We don't want our taxpayer dollars going towards Hamas and these groups. It's that simple, and it's hundreds of millions of dollars. Sign that petition with us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. I'm urging everyone that's listening to this broadcast right now to stand with Israel, stand against these terrorists, and don't have the United States force them into a situation where you're negotiating with someone that's calling for your destruction. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Skip, how serious is this?
I think it's very serious. First of all, I will say this about Hamas. They are at least honest about what they stand for. If they get together with the Palestinian Authority and they actually come to some unity government and they change their tone, you can rest assured they haven't really changed what their desires are. They may cover it up temporarily, but their ultimate objective is to destroy Israel, to drive the Jews out of the Holy Land, and not just the Jews, the Christians too. And we need to understand that. And this is a very dangerous development, and the United States government must, I repeat, must stop aiding the Palestinian Authority if they get anywhere near this type of a political accommodation with Hamas.
All right, Jordan. So Congressman DeSantis said that the Palestinian Accountability Act will specifically state very clearly that there, for any negotiations to go forward and any funding coming from the United States, recognition of Israel, its right to exist as a Jewish state, mutually secure borders, and a commitment to the peace process. That's the requirements. That is not going to happen with Hamas.
No way. I mean, they can't do that. Hamas as an organization is just opposed to mainly just recognizing Israel's right to exist and as a Jewish state on top of that. I mean, both of those conditions cannot be met when Hamas is a partner. Now, we've seen these partnerships falter in the past, and so you don't know how serious and how long-term they will be. But what we do know is that this is part of a bigger Palestinian strategy to try and get more recognition from international institutions and other countries.
Meanwhile, Secretary of State in a closed-door meeting says that Israel risks becoming an apartheid state. By the way, apartheid under the Rome Statute is a crime. It's inhumane acts committed in the context of institutionalized regime of systematic oppression and domination by one racial group over another racial group or groups and committed with the intention of maintaining that regime. That's what apartheid is. That's what Secretary of State, while this is going on with Hamas and Fatah, has said this is what Israel risks. So here's the simple question, folks. Are we going to stand with Israel right now? The Bible's very clear. I'll bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse thee. If you want to stand for freedom and stand for liberty and not have your taxpayer dollars going to Hamas, to terrorists, then let's stand with Israel right now at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, we want to hear from you. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's take a phone call, Jordan.
Yeah, right to the phones we go. Let's go to Vernon calling in from DC on line 4. Vernon, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Vernon.
Hello. How you doing?
Good, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you.
I'm calling. I have a comment because the United States must not forget and accept that we've been blessed for so long. I believe for that reason, we've been the peacekeeper of God.
Israel and protecting Israel.
Yes.
Well, and I think you're absolutely correct. And, you know, the United States, I think if you look at it from a spiritual perspective, Skip, because the Bible's crystal clear, that I'll bless those that bless thee, curse those that curse thee. And the fact of the matter is that Israel's in an untenable situation right now.
We are the only friend that Israel has of any significance in the world. Canada probably is the next best friend because they are siding with Israel right now. But without the United States, Israel would be in dire circumstances. And yes, we have been a strong supporter of Israel. We are the first nation that recognized their right to exist when they reestablished themselves as a nation. And we have stood by their side faithfully in all the days since then. And we risk right now with the policies that are being enunciated by Secretary Kerry, we risk the status as being their best friend because we are adopting policies and making positions that are contrary to our interests and the interests of Israel. They're the only democracy in the Middle East. They are a viable democracy. And this apartheid thing is absolutely despicable. 20% of the population of Israel today is Arab, and they are fully represented in the Knesset. They have every right that every other Israeli has. And to say this is an apartheid state is absolutely despicable.
It is a loaded term, folks. And the Secretary of State said it. And while Israel's supposed to now negotiate with Hamas, who's calling for their destruction, we're taking your names on this petition at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Speak out now for Israel. Sign this petition, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's take another call.
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Diane calling from Iowa on line 1. Diane, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Brother Secolo.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to tell you that I believe that our Lord and Savior is not going to let this happen to the ones of us who are standing for God's people. I know I am a part of it. When we came here to this country, we came in chains, and it was only because of the sins of our heritage. And God Almighty released us when we learned who He was in another language. We then served Him. My heart is broken that we would actually put a representative in the highest office in this country who was not a
Christian.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, though. This goes beyond, and I'm not going to get into the president or the secretary of state's theological or religious beliefs. I understand your concern, but let me tell you what the real what I'm dealing with right now is. I've got a statement from the secretary of state saying that Israel may be, risk becoming an apartheid country if they don't negotiate, and they have to negotiate with Hamas and Hezbollah type organizations. And it's actually Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. That's the reality of what we're dealing with right now, which is frankly absurd that the Secretary of State would have us do this. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Jordan, what do you anticipate? We've got the congressman coming back on later in the broadcast. There's a number of pieces of legislation coming here, so we're not just talking about action in the vague sense. There's specific congressional acts to stop this funding without with conditions.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you've got specific congressional legislation proposed both in the House and the Senate. At the end of the day, that if this government actually moves forward, the White House has said that they would work with Congress. So this is an issue where the White House has been very clear and said if Congress comes to an agreement on defunding, that they will support that, the $400 million defunding if the government moves forward. But what the White House is trying to do to try, I think, keep Congress from pushing forward with this quickly is trying to play down actual agreement between the Palestinian factions here. Now, what I think is that is if they're saying it, that should be enough, and they should be that should be it. We should be stopping the money. It's not about does it last or not. We shouldn't care about that. They need to feel the economic impact immediately.
ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Let me encourage you to take direct action here. Supporting Israel. We don't. This unity government is a disaster. Not waiting to happen. It's a disaster happening. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. You can sign that petition now. I encourage you, urge you to do it. We don't need our taxpayer dollars going there. And Secretary of State Kerry saying Israel risks becoming an apartheid state? Really? While Hamas is calling for their destruction? ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We'll take your calls when we come back at 800-684-3110.
Said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. Can't get no relief. Businessman, they drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. Number level on the vine. No matter of it is worth. No, no, no.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
It is a dangerous and deadly combination, and it represents a grave threat to Israel. Hamas and the Palestinian Authority have announced their long-planned unity government. The terrorists of Hamas will join the extremists in the Palestinian Authority, united in their resolve to destroy Israel. Here's the problem. The United States provides hundreds of millions of taxpayer funds to the Palestinian Authority. And the fact is that if this unity government is finalized, the U.S. will actually be funding Hamas. Don't let that happen. Stand with the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We continue, folks, to talk about this issue involving Hamas, a terrorist organization. This is something that everybody in the United States government agrees on, essentially, that Hamas is a terrorist organization. And I just want to kind of reset the stage on this issue. Current United States law says that we may not provide U.S. aid to terrorist groups. So if Fatah in Palestine is going to enter a unity agreement with Hamas, it is very simple. Current U.S. law says no funding for terrorists. Now, we, of course, hope that the administration will make that decision on their own, that they will not have to be forced by Congress to withhold that aid if this unity government is going to go forward. That is what current U.S. law demands. But, folks, we also think that there should be an additional layer to this. You heard yesterday Congressman Ron DeSantis on with Jay talking about a bill that he has put forward, the Palestinian Accountability Act. The two basic requirements of this law are something that no country should have any problem with. First of all, it says in order to get United States aid, you must recognize Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state. And secondly, you must strongly and regularly condemn terrorism. Folks, those are two requirements. If any nation in the world cannot meet those two very simple requirements, it's very easy. They shouldn't get U.S. aid. That is what the Palestinian Accountability Act would do. That is why we support its passage. Folks, as we're talking about this issue, we thought it would be a good time to play for you a segment from our documentary called The Export. This documents the spread of radical Islam across the board. The segment I'm going to play for you today includes Ambassador John Bolton and former Attorney General John Ashcroft. They have obviously a very unique perspective on this issue. I thought it would be a good day to play their interviews. If you want to see the entire thing, you can find it online at aclj.org. But let's roll this segment from The Export. This is John Bolton and John Ashcroft.
Ambassador, I want to first ask you about the Goldstone report. You made a very interesting, I think, important comment about the criticism aimed at Israel for disproportionate response, and your statement that in warfare, whether it's the legal system being utilized or actual military engagement, that disproportionate response is part of what has to happen.
It is basic American doctrine that we have at least the option to use overwhelming force against our adversaries. We have that military doctrine because we want to protect American lives. We want to protect innocent civilian lives. And the best way to defeat the enemy is to do it quickly and overwhelmingly. It is essential to self-defense, to be able not simply to respond to a particular attack, but to eliminate the threat to your national security to begin with. And that's the real question of what proportionality involves or what is legitimate. And until that's better understood in the international system, we're going to see additional threats to the ability of the United States and its friends and allies to defend themselves in the war against terrorism.
Let's take it right to Iran. First of all, you obviously you know better than anybody because of your work here as ambassador at the UN and just generally in your knowledge of this area. How significant is Iran as a threat right now?
Well, right now, Iran is the world's central banker to international terrorism. It funds Hamas, Hezbollah, terrorists in Afghanistan and Iraq and around the world. If you add to existing Iranian activities the capability to deliver nuclear weapons anywhere in the world, you make Iran a world power and a world threat. That's why it is legitimate for the United States, Israel, or others to take action now in self-defense to prevent Iran from continuing to violate its own treaty obligations and obtain nuclear weapons. It's not a desirable alternative, to be sure, but the preemptive use of military force in this case is actually far preferable to the world as it would be once Iran gets nuclear weapons.
I was going to follow up with that, because do you have any confidence whatsoever in the UN's capability or institutional willingness to take the kind of sanctions necessary to get Iran to stop?
There may well be a fourth sanctions resolution coming, but it will be just as toothless as the first three, and it will not do anything material to dissuade Iran from continuing its 20-year-long project to obtain nuclear weapons. The most likely outcome today, absent the use of military force by someone, is that Iran will have nuclear weapons and very soon.
If Iran does end up with nuclear weapons, what's the end result?
I don't think Iran is subject to classical theories of deterrence. I think it worked through luck during the Cold War. It's not a system we should want to live under. And Iran has a very different calculus about the benefits of human life than even the Soviet Union did. But even if I were wrong about our capability to deter Iran, it doesn't stop there. If Iran gets nuclear weapons, Saudi Arabia will, Egypt will, Turkey, perhaps others. So in 5 to 10 years, you could have a multipolar nuclear Middle East with half a dozen countries with nuclear weapons. That is a formula for insecurity.
Insecurity, but also the ending of democracies like Israel as we know it?
Right. I think in a multipolar nuclear Middle East, you'd have many countries looking at the one next door saying, I wonder if I should strike first before he strikes me. And I would think at that point, the use of nuclear weapons becomes almost inevitable.
Last question, and that is, can the world afford to wait?
I don't believe so, and I've felt this way for some time. I think it is a mistake to overestimate how much time we have in Iran. I don't believe in just-in-time non-proliferation, because if you miscalculate and Iran gets nuclear weapons, the entire balance of power has changed. We're in a very critical year this year.
General Ashcroft, let's go back to September 11th, 2001, and put this in a historical context. The president, the first lady, were on a reading initiative. For students. In fact, we always remember that shot of the president being whispered to by Andy Card while he was in the reading program in Florida. What was your day like that day?
I was destined for Milwaukee, Wisconsin, again dispatched by the president, as other cabinet members were, to be reading with students that day. However, before I got to Milwaukee, the word got to me when I was over central Michigan. I remember on the one side of the plane, Kalamazoo, and on the other side of the plane, Grand Rapids.
What'd they tell you?
Literally, the voice barked out of the cockpit saying, General Ashcroft, call the command center. Now, that could mean any number of things. It certainly didn't register with me at the time that I was going to be informed of this massive assault on America and her institutions. But I picked up the phone. The command center began to relate to me the details which were unfolding at the time.
What'd they first tell you?
Well, they told me that there had been these planes that crashed into the Twin Towers. They told me that it appeared that this was not accidental, that there was a lot of uncertainty, and that there were other things that were still unfolding. I turned to the individuals in the plane with me, and I said, the world will never be the same.
Again, folks, that was a clip from our documentary called The Export. You heard from John Bolton and John Ashcroft. Listen, as we close the broadcast today, I need you to stand with Israel and insist that your taxpayer dollars do not go to a terrorist entity. That is what would be taking place if we fund the new unity government that includes Hamas. If you want to stand with us and stand for Israel, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org.
With the American Center for Law and Justice and send a message to the President and to Congress. Tell Washington, tell the Obama administration, not one dime of your taxpayer dollars should fund jihadists. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.